Let's start this second session by turning to our centering text, Mark 1. And let's start with verse 1, reading the mission of John the Baptist. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No doubt about it, there's some very important things mentioned in verse 1. The gospel is Christ, and he is the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way before me. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." It's our paths that are crooked, but we walk that in his path. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And that's where our journey begins. When we finally do walk into this Christian lifestyle, it is to repent of sins. "And there went out to him all the land of Judea, out of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with a camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins. He ate locusts and wild honey." Sometimes those remarks in verse 6 make us think that he had a very austere life. It could be just the other way around. Many of us would enjoy a coat of camel's hair. But you see that John did the baptizing. If you look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, 2, you'll find that it says there that Christ baptized no one personally. The baptisms were something that others did. And that this particular comment is made for us, so we realize that Christ was not trying to take any particular fame for himself, or someone saying then, "Well, my baptism is better because I was baptized by the Lord." Verse 7, "And they preached, saying, there comes one mightier than me after me, the latchet whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So we have a baptism by water and then a baptism by Spirit. And this is important to see the commodities work together. We are immersed in water for the remission of sins. And at that point, when we come up out of the water, hands are laid upon us at the time of baptism so that we receive the special gift of God's Holy Spirit. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit appearing like a dove descending upon him. And there came this voice from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was there for 40 days and was tempted of Satan and was with the wild beasts, and the angels served him. Now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Hence, we might be reminded to go back to verse 1. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is about? A coming kingdom. And this is something that he then at hand did in a larger sense by preaching and talking to people. You see in verse 21, dropping in there, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." He did this, and it says in the previous verse that he was teaching in the synagogue. So he taught to groups of people. And then it's a remark that I wanted to make, that that's why we don't go from house to house, as we're told not to do that in Luke 10:7. But we'd rather work with groups of people that wish to understand. Those that would tune into our programs. Those that would find interest in our magazines and so forth. This Bible, though, this is the foundation. Many pieces of literature we've prepared, but it isn't meant to be anything but assist you in your reading of God's Word. This is indeed the foundation. So we find that we are to do that, preaching and working within groups, and That is why we have invited you here today. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Now that phrase is what we're going to find ourselves focusing in on for the rest of the day here when we think about the kingdom of God is at hand. Does that mean you have it in your hand now? I can't answer that question. It's one you need to understand and answer for yourself. Is God's kingdom, is the knowledge about the Son of God returning to this earth and finally introducing peace, is that something that is in your hand? Is it something you can find satisfaction with? If that kingdom is there for you, do you seize upon it? Do you hold it? Do you nurture it? There's much evidence that God calls one to know the kingdom at the time that is best for them. God is interested in success, not failure. And so he works with people at a time when he can find a measured and useful result, where the destiny is possible. But we have then the opportunity to decide whether or not we're going to bring forth fruit times 5, times 10, or if we're going to bury our talent in the earth. Looking to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, it says in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No, you cannot come to understand these things unless God opens your mind to them and calls you into this understanding. The Father is the one that makes the decision that it is your opportunity now. Now is the best opportunity for you. Dropping down in the chapter to verse 65, John 6:65, he said, "I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." The repetition should tell us very clearly that this is what is necessarily for us to understand. "There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." And it's important for us to realize that if we don't do that rightful calling and understand it and commit ourselves to it, that we could be betraying then that lovely gift that he's offering to us. So we need to be very careful about that. "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go away? But Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Eternal life is it's an imagination. It's something that you can think about, try to understand. And for all of our thinking and being instructed by God's way, it's almost beyond total understanding to know what real peace is. We find ourselves in a society that has been robbed of everything that is worth remembering. It's a difficult time to live in this age of man. But Christ did talk in parables, and some of you understand parables, don't you? It says in Matthew 13 about parables. The reason Christ talked in parables was not for clarity. He's asked about why he speaks in parables, Matthew 13, verse 10. Why speak to them in parables? He says, it's because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Or I might add, not given yet. God has his own time of calling, his own plan of redemption for everyone. But he does reveal his things to us about the beautiful way of life that is to come. And that which you can grasp today, working and moving forward into the way in which God wants you to live tomorrow. For verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he'll have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, and even that he has. So that's why I speak in parables, because they seen, see not, and hearing, they hear not, and neither do they understand. So it is fulfilled when the prophet of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. It's in the mind that these things come about, and God works with our mind. And so some people's minds, their hearts are waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, the ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted, that is, be changed, and understand about the kingdom of God, and be changed, converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So if you're teachable, and your ears and mind, your eyes, are open to these ways that you find in the Word of God, it's important that you vindicate yourself and reward yourself by stepping into that way of life. Goes on to say, I say that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see, have not seen them, or to hear those things which you have heard and have not heard them. And then he talks about the parable of the sower. Another example that is an aggregate showing us that the facts are God works with groups. And he'll give a whole bunch of people seed. And so what do we do with it? Over in Isaiah 55, you'll see again that God is a very optimistic Father, and he wishes to let us understand the kingdom of God, and he'll put it into our hand at the best possible time for success. He is not interested in your failure. So in Isaiah 55, starting at verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Going to the end of the chapter, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. There is a big difference between what you find and what God puts into your hand for his ways as compared to the ways of society around us. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth that it may bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. When he gives his truth to you, it shall not return unto me void, it says. It's not going to come back empty. It's going to produce a result. And what result then is very important for us to do? We consider what our lives have and what we need to turn over and turn over completely to God. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth beside you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You'll find happiness because of your obedience to the ways of God. The instructions are not meant to make life difficult. They're made to give our life success and ease. His ways are not a complicated way. We don't need volumes of books to define the instructions of God. It's very clear. very, very short amounts of time can be taken with God's Word to have an understanding of these Ten Commandments and taking them into the spiritual realm to love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and likewise mankind, to, as you love yourself, love your fellow man. If we do that, then it will not return to God void, it says. We'll enjoy their peace, happiness. We'll see beautiful things in our lives. We'll be productive. So that in 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. So we'd have an understanding here of an evergreen and a deciduous tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So when you are called in, the sign goes on and on. You have an opportunity for that. So your calling is very special. And if you have it in your hand, just as much as you have anything else in your hand, and you perform with it a good thing, it's important for you to perform good work with the knowledge that he has put into your mind. Over into the Gospel of John, chapter 14, a couple of verses 6 and 7. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here it says it again, no man can come unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Your calling is special, and your calling to understand the kingdom and your future in God's kingdom is it now? Is it something that you should be doing with your life today? So that you can spread within yourself the good examples and let your friends and your family see it. You know, we're here on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. The Sabbath is, the seventh day of the week. That's one of God's instructions. When you knock on the door of the Sabbath and you walk in, what are you walking into? You're walking into a day of peace, harmony, rest, cessation of activities that produce income, and you find yourself spending more time with your Creator and His Word than with anything else. It's a good day. It's a day then that we should have. It's vacation once a week. This isn't natural for mankind to take a day off. You find in a lot of environments, it's just a very difficult thing. So I ask, is the hand of God knocking on your door? Is it His hand knocking and letting you have an opportunity so that you see that His kingdom is close to you if you will just open the door? Not often turned to is the Song of Songs. And it's... here after the book of Ecclesiastes in your Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then the Solomon's Song. It tells us a lot about how a man and a woman should find themselves entering to the marriage and the opportunity to find happiness. But it is a book of dualities in that it also talks about his relationship with the church. And in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 5, there's the spiritual parallel of Christ awakening the church and calling his church. So we see in this chapter 5, verse 1, he says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my spice, He's got on his Old Spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey, bits of honey, has a sweet taste in his mouth. I've drunk wine, and I have had my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Drink abundantly, beloved. I sleep, but my heart wakes. And so this is the response from the spouse, the woman. I sleep. My heart is knows something going on. I hear the voice of my beloved at knock, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. And speaking of virginity, which we should have in our marriages until the time of marriage, and the virginity that we look forward to as the bride of Christ, and remembering Matthew 25, that we should then be pure, unadulterated with false teachings. So she says, I can hear you over there, but my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I can't quite get myself awake. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I'm not quite ready. I don't have all that I need. I hear you knocking, but I want to slumber. It's like that time when you have heard the doorbell ring too early in the morning, and you know someone's there, but, oh, please just go away. And you turn around or turn over in bed. My wife, Joy, wears earplugs. And so I'm the one to listen for the door. I'm the big guy. She said, well, I have washed my feet. How shall I define? You know, I just took a shower. I'm in bed. I'm clean. I'm comfy. I don't want to get up and get dressed. But my beloved, he put his hand by the hole of the door. There in the keyhole, I could see that he was wiggling his finger. And my bowels were moved for him. And oh, boy, I sure would like to talk to him, but it's so comfortable here. Finally, I rose up to open my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh. I got myself up and ready. I put to the handles of the lock, and I opened the door. I opened to my beloved, and I was thinking he would be waiting. But my beloved had withdrawn himself. He had left. He'd waited long enough. He was gone. And that will happen on the face of this earth when people don't answer and understand that the kingdom of God is at their hand. Some will get out of bed quickly and answer the door. Not everyone does. He was gone. My soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. He was gone. Well, the watchmen then went about the city. He found me. They smote me and they wounded me. And the keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. So I went a-looking, but I didn't have any protection. And the environment took advantage of me. So I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. I wished I had awoken and listened. The church is to taste of the joy of Christ's love. And so when we think of ourselves, and whether or not the kingdom is in our grasp, in our hand, when the door is being knocked upon, are we listening? Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. In conclusion, we find in Revelation chapter 3. It It says in verse 8, there are some that respond to that knock. It says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, but you have kept my word and have not defiled or denied my name. Now, sometimes this is written and understood in the sense of a group, a church, and so be it. But what's wrong with looking at it in the individual, private, personal sense? As you look at it, what about you? Have you found that you've been opened, an open door has been given to you? The kingdom of God is at your hand, and no man can shut it because you will not permit it. Turning to the end of the book or chapter, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door, and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I will sup with him, and he with me. When I'm knocking at the door, if you answer it, I'll come in and enjoy a meal with you. I'll let you have some of the things that I could bring over to the potluck with you. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. If you have an ear, let yourself hear what the Spirit says to the churches, what the Spirit says to you. So without it being anything to be construed as an altar call, if you want to talk about these ways, if you want to learn further and find out about the instructions of God, if you want to see if the door is there, and if you kick at it a little bit, it opens. If you want to see if whether or not your Creator is knocking on your door, write me an email, write me a letter, or send some notes of such to our home offices in Cincinnati that we can follow up and assist you. It's important for each of us to know that there will be a time when the door will be shut. But there is also that time when the door will be open. So we can go to get some more refreshments. Look forward to spending a little time with you this afternoon, if any of you wish. I'll be around. Just feel free to come up and we'll engage in the conversation.